We gather this evening in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. And so we take a moment to confess to God in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith, most merciful God. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our Savior as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. From the end of the earth I call to you, and my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. They remember that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, our defender, as the storms of life rage around us and cause us to be afraid, help us to look to you for strength and help and hope. For you are our rock and our Redeemer, the foundation that our faith is built on, that can never be taken away from us. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good evening. As we celebrate our partnership in the faith, it is founded on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our rock and our Redeemer. That is the foundation we continue to build on as we hear his victory over sin, death, and the devil. The reading tonight is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The word of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Well, this is our picnic weekend, so you're getting the picnic message. That's okay. I wasn't going to write two separate sermons this week. But I want you to think about this, though. As we think about this, we celebrate our faith, and we're doing that tomorrow with our sister congregation, St. Paul of Cave Creek, St. Peter of Doss, along with Holy Ghost. We're going to gather to worship, to fellowship, to dine together. But the most important thing that we do is to focus on where our foundation is. And that's key for us tonight. Our foundation is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And yeah, so our theme is rocking and rolling in God's Word. And actually, our cowboy band that normally does that kind of stuff is going to play some 50s rock and roll music with Christian words to it. It'll be a good thing. Yeah. So the inspiration for this theme, for this picnic weekend, comes from some inspiration that I had a few Sundays ago when we announced that John LaRock was already working with our high school and junior high youth. He'd been here since August, and that Tobias Heike had accepted the call to become our pastor. He will be here February 1st, beginning that. But, you know, we looked at those things. We have set some high goals for this coming year. The excitement is in the air. And I just couldn't help myself that day as I shouted out at the end of the service, man, we are rocking and rolling. I said it a couple times. And then when we gathered a couple weeks later with the picnic team to start thinking about the picnic, and it was Barbara Groner who said, Pastor, we have our theme. I said, what do you mean? She said, you said rocking and rolling. We are rocking and rolling. I said, oh, good idea. Good idea. Well, here's the point. None of this could have happened or could have been possible without God. God is our foundation that we build upon. The transition time, as you know, always can be a little shaky after Pastor Bobby retired, and that affected all three congregations, not just Holy Ghost, and what the future might be. And there were times we wondered if we were making progress with the call committee and all those things and decisions that needed to happen. But I want to tell you, God guided us through that time and reminded us to trust in Him, that He would provide. And God has provided in a huge way. And we are poised to rock and roll this community and to make a profound impact upon the lives of people for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, people's lives have been shaken upside down. That's the world we live in, and it always has been that way. But always God provides a foundation for us to come back to steady our feet, to get ourselves back on solid ground. No doubt, our world today is faced with a great deal of turmoil right now, violence, hatred, evil. And more than ever, we need to know that we have a solid foundation. And so I want to invite you today to journey with me as we find those places in the Bible where we have that solid foundation. There are seven goals for us. I promise it won't be a long sermon, okay? I promise. All right, seven goals. The first is we need to put God first in everything. The example I have is of King David. He is a man who began as a shepherd, right? And that wasn't a cush job. You know, he had to fight off lions and bears and other predators just to protect those sheep. But as you look back, God was guiding him all along the way. And then he faced a giant in the person of Goliath. And David did not fear. Why? Because he knew that God was with them. And he won that great victory that day for all of Israel. And then he faced jealousy from King Saul, who tried on more than one occasion to put David to death. Of course, he faced his own demons with his lust for Bathsheba, as Pastor Steve talked about last Sunday with David and Bathsheba. And then his own son later on, Absalom, tried to depose him. But through all of that, David remained faithful to God. His heart was always there for God. He wrote a beautiful song at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 22, which is echoed throughout some of the Psalms that we have as well. And David writes there in 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. So you're going to hear that word a lot tonight, rock, because that's where our foundation is, and not a rock, but the rock of God, the rock of Jesus. Well, again, David was far from perfect, but his heart never strayed from God. God forgave him in his sin and continued to strengthen him and bless him throughout his life. God's promise through David's line was that there would be someone on the throne all the way through eternity. And that, of course, is the promise of the Messiah, of Jesus, who rules today as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when we put God first, it has a profound impact on our lives. The second thing we need to do is make prayer a daily breath. And listen to that, a breath, right? Prayer is such an essential part of our lives. It's like breathing. It's not something that we should do occasionally, or we might find ourselves out of breath. Prayer is an ongoing activity. As St. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that we are to pray without ceasing. So think of prayer this way, as an ongoing conversation with our Heavenly Father throughout our day. From the time you arise out of bed till the time you turn in at the end of the day. And prayer can take many forms, from a simple word or two uttered in thanksgiving to a heartfelt, desperate plea to God to rescue us from a desperate situation in our times of need, to a very formal prayer like the Lord's Prayer that God has taught us and that we know so well. One of the verses that sticks out for me is Psalm 95:1, where it says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Yeah, that's a psalm, but it's also a prayer. And songs are often prayers. In this case, a prayer that leads us into worship and helps us focus on God, who is the foundation that is there for us. The third thing is that we are to be in God's Word daily. This is part of our statement every week that we talk about, being in God's Word, reading your Bibles daily. Now, I know a lot of people take that for granted, but like prayer, being in God's Word daily is essential for our lives of faith. It's how we get to know God better and understand what God's Word is instructing us and how it's guiding us in our lives. My routine is this, and I've done this for years. I get up first thing every morning. When I do, I put my coffee on the stove while it's perking. I grab my Bible and I'm reading a couple chapters. Sometimes it takes 20 minutes, sometimes it takes 30, sometimes it takes 10. Depends on how long the chapters are, but I do that. And yeah, I read the Bible other times, but that's my devotional time. The first thing to start my day off right with God. In Matthew 5:5-7, Jesus takes time to teach his disciples and other followers several important truths about God's Word that give us direction and guidance. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shares an important truth about building on that firm foundation. It's a story, and I use part of that for the litany tonight, of the two guys who built their house, one on the sand, one on the rock. And you heard that, right? When the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew, the house built on sand was destroyed. But the house built on the rock stood firm. And what a great reminder that it's so important for us to build our lives on the Word of God and stand on that firm foundation that it provides, so that when the storms of life rock our world, God will help us to stand firm and strong. Fourth, we are also called to walk by faith and not by sight. Are you walking by faith? What does it even mean? It means that we have to trust in God. And that's not always easy. I'm reminded of a story of a man who was sleeping in his cabin one night, and the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him that he had work for him to do. He showed him this large, huge rock in front of his cabin, and the Lord explained to him that the man was to push against that rock with all of his might. So he did that day after day for many years, from sun up to sundown, pushing with all his might. But one day the devil showed up and put a doubt in his mind. "Why are you killing yourself?" he said. "You've been pushing against that rock for a long time. You're never going to move it." The man began to doubt. and think that he was a failure. And so he brought it to the Lord in prayer one night, and the Lord responded, "My friend, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, and that's what you have done. Never once did I mention that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking you have failed. But look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back sinewy and hard. Your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and you surpass well where you were at before. Yeah, you haven't moved the rock, but your calling was to be obedient and to push and exercise your faith and to trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my friend, will now move the rock." There it is. We're to be obedient to God, to keep honing our faith, working on our faith, struggling against the world to strengthen our faith. In Psalm 62:6, we hear, "He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." There it is. The more time that we spend with God and walk with God in our lives, the more we're gonna face the evil foe, excuse me, who will try his best to turn us against God with doubts and fears. This is why we need to walk by faith and not by sight. The fifth is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's closely related to trusting in God. Psalm 31, verses 2 and 3 tell us, "Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead and you guide me." Remember that God is with us through both the good times and the bad times of life. And I like to think of that psalm that we know so well, the 23rd Psalm. What does it tell us? It starts off with the green pastures and the still waters, right? The reminder that God provides for us and gives us these wonderful times in life of what we need. But then it reminds us not to fear, even when we walk through the shadows of life and death. Why? Because the psalm promises that God is with us, that we do not journey alone. And that's something that we all need to be reassured of. We can then turn to God at all times in our lives and know that God is with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And of course, the ultimate promise in that psalm and through the rest of Scripture is that we will dwell with him in the house of the Lord forever. There's the promise of eternal life that's offered to all who believe in God. And what a great reassurance that God has in store for us. Number six, here's an important goal. We are to focus on Jesus and not the world. That's something to think about. I mean, the world's a marvelous place, right? It's wonderful. God created it. But it also tempts us to get so over-focused on the creation that we forget the Creator who made it all. And it also tempts us to turn away from God at times. A perfect example of that, I think, is with the prophet Elijah. If you were going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah's hiding from Jezebel. She killed all these prophets. Elijah thinks that he himself is alone and he's hiding out of fear. He's in a cave. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12 recall this. God said, "Go forth and stand up on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, guess what? A still, small voice." It's a reminder that God doesn't always manifest himself in great and powerful ways. Sometimes we get distracted by those things. We expect God to be in those things. And that's where we look to the world at times. But often God speaks to us in that still, small voice, that whisper, if you will. And so we need to keep our ears and our hearts open to focus on him. The final goal is to always believe in God's plan. And here's where we come back to that Matthew text, that gospel passage that we read for today. That's the heart of the gospel. God's plan of salvation for all who believe. It's the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the first Easter morning that text reminds us of, right? The women had gone to the tomb. What were they going for? To find a body. That's what they were expecting. They took spices along. They were going to anoint Jesus' body for a proper burial. But as they were going, what happens? A massive earthquake. And unlike Elijah, where God was not in the earthquake, here God is. It's as if all of creation is announcing that Jesus has risen victoriously from the dead. And so an angel appears and rolls the stone away and sat on it. I like that language, right? He sat on it. Anybody remember Happy Days? Yeah, a couple of you back. Yeah. Who said that? Fonzie, right? Sit on it, right? He'd say that all the time. As if to say, don't worry about it. I got this, okay? Well, I'm going to tell you, that stone was rolled away. It was not rolled away for Jesus' sake. It was rolled away for our sake. Jesus was already gone from the tomb before the stone was ever rolled away. If you think the creator of the heavens and earth had to wait for somebody to roll the stone away, you got another thing coming, because he, the creator of all the universe, rose from the dead victoriously over sin, death, and the devil, that we might have forgiveness, life, and salvation. The stone was rolled away again for our sake, so that we might see and believe and know that the tomb was empty. There was no body there. It was empty. The Lord of lords and King of kings had risen from the dead. And that's the great news, because that kind of news rocked the world of that day, and it continues to rock the world of our day. The great evangelist Dwight Moody once shared that he'd gone to an art gallery, saw a painting called The Rock of Ages. It showed a person with both hands clinging to a cross firmly embedded in a rock, while the stormy sea smashed against the rock. The person clung on tightly with both hands. Years later, Moody saw another picture similar to that one. This one showed a person also in a storm clinging tightly to a cross with one hand, but with the other hand he was reaching to a person who was out there drowning in the sea to rescue and save him. So as we stand on the firm foundation that Jesus has given us, the one who is our rock and our redeemer, he calls us to reach out and extend that hand to others, that we might rock and roll their world and bring them to the firm foundation that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. So may God rock and roll our lives as we bring the good news to others. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for being that foundation for us in our lives, that no matter what we're facing in this life, good or bad, we know that we can stand firm on you and on your word. So Lord, strengthen us in our faith when the storms of life are around us, just beating on us. And so, Lord, give us that peace that only you can give and that strength to face the storms and know that we are not alone, but that you are with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Almighty, in our broken and troubled world, where we have many doubts and fears, remind us that you are our rock and our redeemer, that solid foundation upon which we can build our lives, so that when the storms of life wash over us, we can hold steady on the solid ground that you provide. Lord, in your mercy, Gracious God, we pray for peace in our troubled world where there is warfare, bloodshed, violence, hatred, and evil. Extend to us that peace which passes all understanding, that we may work for peaceful solutions and bring healing and hope to this world in need. Lord, in your mercy, healer of all ill, we pray for the many folks that we have listed today among our congregations, and there are several from all three congregations tomorrow, those who are hospitalized, those recovering, those facing treatments or tests. We pray especially for the family of Bob Tice, as you remind them of your promise of resurrection, new life for him. Lord, be with all who continue to mourn as well, and all who need your healing, your hope, your love, and your care. Guide them and guard them in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of heaven and earth, we continue to pray for the victims of the floods this summer who are still recovering, that we might extend a hand of help and service to them. And while we pray for them, we continue to lift up our need for you to provide beneficial rains for this land, to continue to water and nourish and replenish it, that it may continue to sustain abundant life. Lord, in your mercy. Precious Savior, we give thanks for all that you have done by bearing the burden of our sin on the cross and paying the price for our sin. You have set us free from the bondage of sin that we might live for you and continue to build our lives of faith on that firm foundation that you have established. Help us to reach out to the world around us and guide others to that firm foundation in you. Lord, in your mercy. Now, good God, guide us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Ended.
And the service
we leave to live out God's call.
To save the lost and strengthen.
May we go to be and make disciples.
Blessing and teaching in the name of God, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Remember this promise, he's with you always.
Even until the end of time.
May God bless your new week. Let it rain.
Yes.
Let it get